What's up, everybody? Welcome to Full Draw Friday. We're going to be talking promoting natural brows over the next couple weeks, starting with what it is and why it's important. So let's get into that here on Full Draw Friday. All right, everybody. I'm Canyon. That's Austin on the other side of the screen. I think I always point the wrong direction. He's over there. But we're going to be talking about natural brows this week. Before we get into it, though, don't forget about our title sponsor for Full Draw Friday, and that's Rack's Big Game Supplements. Go check them out if you're using any kind of minerals, protein blocks, even depending on where you're at, some supplemental feed and stuff like that. It's racksmineral.com. They got you set up with all your needs for all that kind of stuff. It's some of the best out there, in my opinion. And you can use the code FULLDRAW, that's all caps, FULLDRAW, and you get 15% off your entire order. So, Austin, how we doing, man? You guys get through all the weather? Did you get any of that weather yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we've been getting hit pretty hard. I think there were some tornadoes just south of us. It was a ways south. It wasn't, you know, close by any means. But, yeah, I mean, we got hit pretty good up around here. So all of our food plots that are planted are getting water, and everything that's not planted is too muddy to work up right now.
Yeah, no joke. That's one thing that I was talking about with a couple different guys. They're like, well, I'm glad I either didn't plant this, or, man, I'm kind of nervous to go back and look at this because we're getting more rain right now. Flash flooding over the next couple of days, I think, like warnings for that.
Okay.
So, like, there might be some washout and some replanting stuff going on, but.
Yeah, maybe some flooded spots in your fields, and yeah, I don't know that we got quite enough rain to cause those issues. That there might be spots that'll cause that, but I don't think we got quite enough rain to cause any of those serious issues anyways.
Oh,
so
that's good. So you got probably just about what you needed.
Yeah, I think we got just the right amount. Not too much to wash anything away, but just enough to just pump the gas full on our plots that are already planted.
Awesome. Well, we talked about this just a minute ago before we hopped on here. I wanted to do, and I think maybe we talked about it last week, we're going to try to rotate these so we do like a tactic strategy on hunting, and then the next series we'll do on habitat stuff, at least to get us through the off season. So I wanted to do something that people could do right now. So like it's a little bit late for obviously frost seeding. If you're spraying and worrying about clover plots and stuff like that, we're getting right into planting, the middle of planting, or right towards the beginning for some areas, I guess, on that stuff. So one thing that I think guys can still do right now, though, and see the benefit of this year, is promoting natural brows. I think it's something that is kind of misunderstood often, and it's something that is definitely not focused on enough when it comes to habitat improvement, because what do we all try to do for food? Food plots.
Food plots.
You know, and here's the other part of that. Not everybody can do food plots, especially if you're on a permission property. However, depending on your property owner and the setup of the property, you might be able to do some of this stuff that we're going to talk about throughout this series. So I thought it would be a really good one to start off our first kind of habitat series since you've been on as a co-host, since it's relevant. I think everybody can benefit from it. And again, it's one of those things that gets overlooked that can be super important to a healthy deer herd and keeping them on your property.
No, absolutely. And that's something that it doesn't cost a significant amount of money to enhance. You know, it's one of those things. So if you didn't have worked in the budget to plant big, massive food plots, you know, or you didn't have the equipment to plant the big, massive food plots, but you have a chainsaw or you have some ability to get in and open up the sunlight in your, you know, in your timber stands and just try to encourage some of those other brows. It takes a lot less money and nature is already producing it for you. You know what I mean? It's already there. All we're doing is just encouraging it to increase its production of sorts. It's basically what we're trying to do. And two, I have never found mature buck bedding or heavy mature buck movement in areas that did not have a significant amount of natural brows.
Yep, absolutely. That rolls right off our bedding series too. One thing, like you said, you're always going to find around buck bedding is natural brows, because they're still going to feed however many times a day they're going to feed, but they're not going to want to get up and travel every time they need to feed. So they need to have something readily available. So if you don't have it on your property, you're not going to have bucks bedding on your property. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's definitely less cost prohibitive than a food plot, for sure. Some of the stuff we're going to talk about, you can do, even if you don't have some of the equipment that might make it easier, you can do it for next to nothing. You know, there's different ways of doing it that we'll talk about for sure, but whether that's cutting trees, clearing trees, spraying stuff, like very minimal cost when it comes to this. And as far as tonnage goes, it's a good, like, first, second, third year of natural browse in like an open field or even in the timber, like you can get a lot of tons of forage up until that stuff dies at the end of the year. And then you're even going to still have some stems and some woody stuff that those deer are going to eat to help with digestion and stuff like that throughout the wintertime. So it's super important. I think we should start with what exactly it is, you know, because natural browse is kind of the all-encompassing of it. There's definitely ways to, like, you could say, well, it's just basically the green stuff you see in the woods. And to some extent, that's true. But there's also some things that are not as good as others. And just like anything else when it comes to habitat, you don't want to have too much of one thing. So if you've got just a ton of honeysuckle, that's not great. If you got just a ton of buckbrush, that's not great either. So I think it's important to kind of understand that, yes, it can be good to have some of those things in pockets, but when it comes to the overall picture that you're trying to paint with this stuff is you want diversity just like you would with anything else, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you could even take that, you know, another step further and not just talk about green browse, but talk about your mast producing trees.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you could break that into your soft mast and your hard mast, you know, could be because a lot of these, you know, invasive species, brush and trees and whatnot, they'll start working their way in and encroaching on your mast producing trees. And I find that a lot, especially in persimmon groves, because persimmons don't give off a big canopy, right? So you know, it's really easy for those trees to get encroached upon. I've got a couple farms I'm working on right now on that is there. You got some cedars kind of encroaching on them. Here in Kansas, we have to deal with the Osage orange, you know, the hedge trees. Those are fast producing and just a pain in the neck. So it's just kind of opening up space and giving those trees and that brush space to grow and thrive, basically. You know, so you could even break it up not only into diversity of your green browse, but even enhancing the production of your mast trees that are already there.
Yep, absolutely. And that's going to be, we'll talk about ways to do that, but I've said this often, a lot of guys, and I don't want to get too much into what we're going to down the road, but a lot of guys will just completely stray away from cutting down oak trees, right? Because they produce acorns. The problem comes when you have almost all oak trees, and number one, you have nothing, no other browse at the forest floor, right? Because it's pretty much all shaded out. And then you're actually losing your potential for production because all your trees are growing just like this. So now you only have this many acorns on each tree. Well, if you thinned them out a little bit, now let's say you got 10 trees like this. Now if you can have 5 trees like this and some browse within it, you know, that's a lot more acorns that that tree is going to produce. And you're also not just producing at the top of the trees, right? So there's a lot of benefit if you, even if you have just a straight monoculture, let's call it, of oak trees, sometimes it's okay to go in and cut some of those out. But again, I don't want to get too much into that. I want to stick with why it's important. And you hit on a good one there. Obviously, the hard mass, the soft mass. In some places, you're going to find some even natural fruit trees that are, especially like old cattle pasture and stuff like that, that might have some apple trees in them. That's all stuff that we're talking about. But it's important because, and you'll see this a lot if you're doing food plots and the deer are just absolutely wiping out your food plots, right? Like, you don't think that your deer numbers are necessarily high enough that they should be, but for some reason, you're planting a half acre, even an acre food plot, and the deer are just mowing it down. That's likely because, in a lot of cases, you don't have enough natural browse. The other thing is you won't see as many healthy deer. Because while the food plots are good, yes, they also need some of that stuff, like I said earlier, to help with digestion, and they're feeding in their beds, right? So, number one, if it's not there, you're not going to have the bucks. Also, if you've got does bedding close to your food plot, they're probably not going to achieve the same body weight because they're not browsing as much from their bed, right?
And the 100%.
The other part of it is the deer don't know how to ration. So, once things turn cold and they've got a little bit left, and now let's say even like that snow that we had this year, I don't know if you guys had that or not, but they're towards the end of the season. All that was left for those deer was the browse that was above the level of the snow, right? So they'll go in if you don't have enough of it, and they'll just wipe it out. And then after that, they just starve if there's nothing else. So it's also important in held earth in that way, herd health in that way, to make sure that they have enough of it, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's something to think about, too, if you're trying to create a farm that holds deer year round, not just holds deer, you know, during a certain part of the season, but but holds deer year round. You're going to have different, like you said, a diversity of type of browse. You know, your high browse for when winter comes and, you know, you got snow on the ground, it's a little tougher to get into stuff and your food plots are covered. But that's also something to think about, too. If you are planting food plots and you think that you're getting really bad growth out of your food plots, it might be a good idea just to put up, you know, one of those seclusion cages and see actually if it is growing bad or you're just getting overgrazed. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's just kind of, and that goes to the difficulty of micro plots is just not enough tonnage of food there to actually sustain the plot. Like the plot just won't survive if you don't have enough. So it's kind of a balancing act, and you know, you can go into the details of when to plant, what to plant, blah, you know, just really get into that.
Right.
But if you have the proper amount of browse, it'll save your food plots. And deer also prefer, especially those big bucks, prefer to be in the brush during the daylight anyways over your food plots and out in the open, you know? So that's just creating more bedding opportunities and creating the type of environment that you're wanting to create to hold deer, not only during season, but year round.
Right. And it even kind of works towards, like, if you're wanting to promote them staying there in the fall more often, because if you have one of those big woods or even, you know, open fields and stuff where there's not a high stem count, right? That the at the bottom from 5 feet down is very thin. The deer are going to love that in the summertime when there's air moving through it, when it's hot outside and they need the airflow, right? And they want the shade. Well, when the wintertime rolls around and they need the thermal cover of the high stem count and the bucks want something to rub their antlers on, right? Like they like having stuff to thrash, you know, that's going to be beneficial for you trying to keep them on there in the fall, because if you don't have that, they're going to go somewhere else and find it, right? So not only is it the browse aspect in the fall, but it's also provides some cover for them, you know, at their level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a good point you brought up also, is something that we take into account when we visit farms is, one, you know, a big one is how big that farm is, you know, and then what's your strengths on the farm, what's the weaknesses on the farm, and what does it look like in the surrounding areas? You know what I mean? So what are you competing with in the surrounding area, and what is the surrounding area lacking? Yeah. You know, a lot, like you said, you know, a big woods scenario where I have a client in central Missouri where it's just nothing but oak flats. You know what I mean? So a big woods scenario. Oak flats, no agriculture fields anywhere nearby. And really no food plots either, just hay ground, you know, areas that are hard to plant, you know what I mean? And people just don't plant, you know, just so creating a diversity, figuring out what you can do on that property, especially if you have limited resources and limited space, what you can provide on that property to create the diversity that you're looking for to create that draw. You know, and then if you only have so much space to do it with, you know, working with a 30-acre property versus a 800-acre property is a totally different story, right? On an 800-acre property, you can provide the type of diversity and food on a large enough scale that you can actually keep them year round. You can create a nutritional opportunity for those deer in a really good habitat. So not only hold, you know, deer year round, but hold a lot of deer year round, hold multiples of mature bucks, right? But if you've got a small acreage, we want to do our best to create a healthy environment year round for deer, also, but you also got to focus on your top priorities for your property and when you want to create those food plots and what to plant and whatnot, right? The list kind of goes on what you can go through there, because it's different a mid-Missouri Big Woods property to a mid-central, a central Kansas plains property. You know, those are same idea, but a little bit different approach. So it's just, you just got to take into account what you have to work with and then move from there. Because if you plant and, you know, if you plant something small and it gets eaten before the bucks even have a chance to get to it during the fall, you help the overall deer herd in a way, right? To an extent, but you haven't actually increased any kind of hunting opportunity on your property.
Yeah, that's something that we always try to keep in mind too when we consult on properties or when we're setting up our own. If you're going to do habitat improvements, try to make it to where it's going to make it easier for you to hunt. Or, like you just said, give you more hunting opportunities. Because if I'm going in and putting all this work in, but it's not going to benefit me when I can get in there from September to January or February, whatever it is, then what good is it really doing me as a hunter? Right? Like, if you want to just have great habitat for deer to have it for them all year round, sure, you can do that. But there's actually times where you can hurt yourself and hurt your hunting opportunities by doing stuff the wrong way. And on the browse thing, too, another reason I think it's important is because not everybody has the opportunity to plant food plots, right? Let's say they're on permission property. Maybe they can go in and broadcast some stuff into standing crops. Maybe they don't even have that opportunity or availability. They might be able to go in there again with the right property owner if they can talk to them, whether they have timber, whether they have fields that are open. They might be able to go in there and actually create some of this natural browse. And it can work as a food plot for you. I think in those situations, if it's either go in and either do some spraying and promote some natural growth to come back, or do some cutting, or do nothing at all. Like, absolutely, that's going to work just as it's going to work in your instance, just as good as a food plot might for somebody else if they can do that. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, yeah.
if it's your only option, and we talk about doing this anyway, like, even if you can do food plots, like, you need to have good natural browse too. If you can't do food plots, then you absolutely should focus on promoting the natural browse if you can, right? Like, and maybe it's something where even you're hunting a family member's property and they just don't want you to dig up the soil and do food plots on it, but they don't care if you cut a few trees here and there, junk trees, or go in and clean up some brush. Like, maybe there's a big, huge patch of honeysuckle or something that is just taking up space, and it's just, or rush and olive, something that's just junk in this whole big spot. If you can go in there and clean that up and promote that natural browse, that's a huge addition to your hunting property. And you didn't even have to go in and put in a food plot, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to of thinking about it too, is it's this essentially creating your own food plot without actually planting a food plot by encouraging locations of growth, right? So thinking about how to place that as well on your property where you're not stepping on your own toes as a hunter, right? So you're looking at access routes. That's a huge one. Not only stand at locations, but you're also looking at access routes, because if you're improving your property in a manner that you have to walk past to even get to your location to hunt, you're bumping everything out before you even get a chance on it. You know what I mean? So you know, that's something to take into account, is the huntability of your improvements that you're making, and browse improvements that gets a little bit more, you have a little bit more flexibility with that, right? So you know, and then you can go into getting real spot specific. So you say you have an oak flat that is really producing really well on a regular basis, and you just want to keep encouraging that location to keep doing its thing. You know what I mean? And then you can hunt off the edges of it, you know, on the benches and whatnot, or off the points of that oak flat and whatnot. That's your own food plot per se, especially when it's producing. And it depends on what oaks are in there too, because you also got to remember, not every oak species is going to produce every single year. So that's something you have to take into account also. And maybe even not every single tree is going to produce every single year also. You have to remember that And some years they're going to have down production. Some years they're going to have, even better production. That a lot of that's rainfall oriented. But you giving the tree a chance to thrive without being choked out is your way of helping it as best you can.
And it's one of those things where you see a lot of stuff anymore about guys that are talking about, well, everybody just is talking about food plots and promoting food plots all the time. And if you can't do a food plot, then you can't kill deer. And they're just talking about putting out a food plot and sitting over it, right? Well, this is an opportunity for those guys to go in and take advantage of some of those similar strategies, right? Because where you can do food plots, as long as there's a need for it, which a lot of times there is, we're still absolutely going to recommend those, right? And if you can do it, you have the place to do it, you have the space, absolutely get out there and put a food plot out, because it's going to be super beneficial to not only the deer, but you as a hunter, and the opportunity to get those deer where you need them to be in order to kill them. You can do the same thing with natural browse. Even if you don't have the money or the space or the ability, permission, whatever it is, to do a traditional food plot, this is something that you can do that's going to allow you to use those same strategies. The one of the downfalls, in my opinion, obviously, if you're planting a good brassica plot, you're going to have more tonnage in those brassicas than you are natural browse. I mean, it's just the way it is. The other
that's
thing
why you
is,
plant the food plots.
Exactly. That's why we talk about doing both. The other thing is, when you get into, those later part of the winter, into December, January, February, even the beginning of March in a lot of places, your natural browse is either going to be 8 down to almost nothing, especially if you've had snow, or it's going to be almost, most of the nutritional value is going to be gone out of it because the leaves have died. A lot of the acorns are ate up, all that kind of stuff. It's more limited during the season than your food plot would be. So where your brassica plot or even some clover plots in some instances, depending on how the weather was, might still be good and green and providing all of that nutrition throughout the winter, your natural browse might not as much. But there again, that's why we try to do both where we can. It's still better than nothing, though, if you can't do a food plot to promote that natural browse. Because in all honesty, if you have the space to have a healthy deer herd and to grow mature bucks to their full potential, or at least as close as you can get them, I think it takes both.
It does. 100%. I agree with that. And to click on the point of you see what people are doing on social media and think that that's the only way to do it, you've got to be careful with that, because a lot of stuff is very fad oriented, right? Just because you have all these people just screaming it on social media, and it looks cool, right? I think that's the biggest thing that just throws me, is this kind of over designing of things, kind of getting over complicated. And it's fun. You want to create something really cool with your property, but we're getting outside the basics and the fundamentals of what deer are requiring and what deer are needing. And that natural browse is the number one, so it's a natural browse and your overall diversity, and you create all of that. I mean, you're golden. Not only are you creating that, top bedding area, but you're also creating more food. And something to think about too, is does are always going to bed closer to your food plots and your primary food, ag fields and food. So if you want to create that depth of bedding that we talk about, the bucks will always bed behind your does, right? They kind of want to keep a little bit of a distance, but not so much that they're not using the herd for safety, right? Your does are always going to be closest to your main food. So you want a depth in your bedding cover. And the only way you create that depth in your bedding cover is through natural browse.
Yep, absolutely.
That's
see if I can take care of this light real quick. I don't know, it's freaking out.
Yeah, no worries.
I don't know. We'll see. If you guys can see that on the video flickering back behind me on that sign, I apologize. I don't know what's up. We've had all kinds of technical difficulties already tonight. We'll kind of wrap this up because I think we're getting close on time anyway. And again, we'll talk about how you can do this throughout the series. But I did want to talk about like looking at the whole picture again, as far as everything you can do. It doesn't necessarily mean, though, that all of that has to be on your property. Like you said, if you have a small piece and you only have room to do so much, right? If your neighbor has really big food plots that are close to your property, but they lack the natural browse, I mean, promote the heck out of the natural browse, right? Give them a place to stay on your property and to browse there during the day. Because chances are they're going to be on your property more in the daylight anyway, right? And vice versa. If your neighboring property has a ton of that, but very little other food sources, maybe focus on other food sources, right? So look at the whole picture. Don't think just because you can't do both doesn't mean you can't get deer and bucks to their full potential, like we said. Take into consideration what is around you and put that in your plan as well. I think that was a good
point. Play up your strengths.
Exactly. That was a good point you had, especially for the smaller property guys, which most are. I mean, we're talking 20, 40, even 80 acres. Look at the whole picture of the neighborhood. See what's around you. See what those deer are lacking, what they have in other places, and then try to, you know, like you said, hit your strength. Give your property something that the others don't that's going to draw those deer in. And that might be food, it might be browse, it might be other cover, it might be bedding, it might be water, all those things. But again, I think browse is one that gets overlooked a lot.
100%. Totally agree.
Yep. All right, you want to add anything else before we get out of here for this week?
I don't think so. I think we covered pretty good. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, talking about how to do it. We were talking earlier, I don't know if we'll break it down into two more parts and talk about kind of how to do it in the timber and then how to do it in other places, or if we'll just do it all next week, but we'll see how things go. We'll plan on two parts, and then if we run long next week, maybe we'll do three parts. But before we get out of here, though, I don't want you guys to forget about our other partner for Full Draw Friday. That's Rodney Hawkins with Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. If you guys are looking for property or looking to sell properties in Illinois, he's a guy to talk to. He's also at RG Outdoors. That's his business. He sells Tacticam trail cameras, all kinds of products from Radix hunting, stands, blinds, trail cameras, everything like that. He's got Fission e-bikes, and he's got another type of e-bike. I believe he's either got them now or they're coming. I don't know. He adds all kinds of new stuff all the time, so it's hard for me to keep up with. But you need to go check him out. You can go to Facebook at RG Outdoors. You can email him at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or if you want information on any of that or any of the Midwest Farm and Land stuff, give them a call at 618-925-3153. All right, for Austin, other side, for Austin and Canyon, myself, we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to tacticalapproachoutdoors.com if you want any more information on what Austin's got going on. See ya.